Luminary, and you're listening to The Truth Stand from Charlotte, North Carolina, saying you can chase a lie all over the world, but The Truth Stand is right here. See, that's a little variation of what I used to say. I used to say you can chase a lie all over the world, but the truth, it stands where it stands. I tell you what, you tell me what you want. You like number one, number two, or I might just interchangeably use them because I like them both. All right, but once again, I am hailing from the glorious Truth Stand Studio, a.k.a. the second room within my house. And I am in front of the Dell Inspiron 6, blah, 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 blah. I am in front of the irrepressible, the wonderful, the always outstanding platinum blue microphone. I am also behind the Logitech C920 webcam. And to my right, I got the Galaxy S4 tablet. And to my left, I got the Google Pixel 2 XL. I'm debating whether or not I should go buy the 3 XL. It's $900. It's got a lot of issues. I think I'll wait until they update it in January or February. And then screw that. I'm not buying it. I'm waiting to number four. So screw all that. But my tablet is great, and you're great, and I want to thank you so much for listening to me at my new home, which is thetruthstand.org. Thanks to Brother Lars from my church who helped hook up this domain for me. It is thetruthstand.org. That is thetruthstand.org. And no, I did not write that down. It is from my brain, my cassava. It is coming from off the top of my dome. But once again, you will hear an audio podcast every single Sunday, starting with this Sunday. I'm going to do a podcast once a week. But that does not mean that from time to time, I won't decide to come on here and just give you 15, 20 minutes about something that's on my heart. I'm going to also do videos. I got a nice clean shaven haircut today. I'm going to start doing videos. I got a very important video about the LGBT community and how we Christians ought to respond to them. And I'm telling you, it's going to surprise you. It's going to surprise you. I'm going to post that on YouTube and then take that post and put it on my truthstand.org page. All right. So, what are we going to talk about today? So much. Oh my God, it's just so much. There's so much on the agenda. Apostasy, persecution, people throwing bacon in managers' faces, heretics telling other heretics to stop using a heretical system. We got it all. We got it all. But I also have some encouragement from the scriptures. At the end of every show, I'm going to read a portion of scripture that I think is going to help encourage you for the day, okay? But with that being said, let's jump right into it. So, what do we talk about today? Well, what I really want to talk about is something that it's not comfortable to talk about. Most of your churches today refuse to talk about it, because quite frankly, most churches aren't real churches, okay? And most pastors really aren't real pastors. Let's just put it out there. Any of you who've known me for any time, you know how I feel about the pastorate. And you know how I feel about all these things, okay? So it's not a surprise that you just heard me say that. But I want to talk about a few things that I have seen. And apostasy is something that has been on my mind. It has been on my heart so dear to me now. You know, you're not going to hear a fire and brimstone message from me or anything like that. But what is apostasy? Okay, the first thing we need to do is we need to define what apostasy is and what it is not. Okay, there's another word that people oftentimes use and they get confused with apostasy, known as backsliding. So let me read to you something from stempublishing.com. Okay, A clear distinction must be made between apostasy and backsliding. Backsliding is a word which only occurs in the Old Testament, but we see mainly backsliding believers in Christian professions today. Such are invariably dissatisfied and wretched in their secret lives. They deplore their folly and weakness and cling tenaciously to the fact of their conversion. Is restoration possible? Of course it is. When he refers to Jeremiah 3:22 and Hosea 4:14, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from them. So what is a backslider? Somebody who's a Christian, who makes the profession of faith, but they know that they are wrong. They are wretched. They have a secret life, but they're trapped in that secret life. I know the feeling. I know what it's like to be a backslider. Someone who isn't regularly walking the faith. They're not walking the walk. They're not talking the talk or anything like that. They are living a secret life of sin, but they hate it and they deplore it. And the only thing that keeps them going is the fact that they know that they're saved, but yet they question it because of all of their sin in their life and all the things that are going on. That's a backslider, okay? You can repent, okay? The Apostle Peter, STEM Publishing goes on. A.J. Pollock, by the way, is the author. 19th century author. Love him to death. Love him to death. Most of the things I get are from 19th and 20th century authors, particularly early in the 20th century, where I believe the purest expression of Christianity was seen, or at least the writing, the purest of writing was during those times. The Apostle Peter was a grievous backslider when he denied the Lord three times with oaths and cursing. And we love to read the story of his restoration and how he was graciously recovered to his Lord and his service for the Lord. So, excellent. But apostasy is different. For there is no recovery from apostasy. It's fatal. We hear that in Hebrews chapter 6 talks about apostasy. Apostasy is a total rejection of Christ, of the Holy Scriptures, of the Christian association and fellowship in every shape, form, or on the part of those who profess to believe in the Christian faith. It is the deliberate stepping outside of the circle of the Christian profession into more than darkness of rank heathendom. In the case of the heathen, there may be many who are groping after the light, but in the case of the apostate, it is the deliberate turning away and the refusal of the light once professed. Okay, so, and I'm going to read a little bit more about that a little bit later, because it's going to dovetail with what I got to talk about today. There is so much rank apostasy going on in what is professed to be the body of Christ. What is Christendom? You heard me use the word Christendom. STEM Publishing, from what I understand, is the only real Christian publication website that uses the word Christendom. What is Christendom? Christendom is everything that professes to follow Christ. That includes Catholicism, Protestantism, all the different variants of both, okay? And all the other things that out there, like the Jehovah's Witnesses and the, other sects, Seventh-day Adventists, all these other sects that claim to be Christian in nature. That is called Christendom, okay? But there's a difference between that and the true profession of those who actually follow Christ. Okay, but Christendom is just a broad term for all of it. Okay, so that's what's happening, is the apostasy of Christendom. And what's happening with apostasy is that a lot of people don't understand that apostasy is something that gradually happens over time, and that you don't have to just outright just say, I hate Jesus, I don't love Jesus, I'm done with Jesus, and just all of a sudden tomorrow you become an atheist or a Buddhist or a Muslim or whatever. That's not how apostasy works, okay? Apostasy is a long pattern of rejecting truth. Rejecting truth here, rejecting truth there. No matter how subtle it is, you keep coming up with your own version of the truth. You keep talking about your own notion of what is true and what is righteous and what is spiritual. That is how apostasy works, okay? And 2 Timothy 3 talks about apostasy. So now I'm going to turn to my trusty Galaxy Tablet S4, and I'm going to read from 2 Timothy 3, the ESV version. Let me go ahead and get to it real quick here. starting at verse 1, 2 Timothy 3, ESV version. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving, treacherous, reckless, swollen, and conceit. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Oh yeah, that lovers of pleasure. Oh, when I get to this one guy, you're really going to see that happen. Okay, having the appearance of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Avoid such people. For among them those who crept in houses and captured weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at knowledge of the truth. In other words, these are people that are always professing to know and to be heightened in their knowledge about things. They're always seemingly growing religious or more spiritual, but yet they never seem to surrender to the true power of the gospel. They never surrender to the true power of the cross. They never surrender to the Bible, okay? That is a part of apostasy, okay? Finish reading here. We're going to skip verse 8 because it talks about two guys that opposed Moses. Well, let's read it. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth. Men corrupted in the mind, disqualified regarding the faith. Oh, you're about to find out about a lot of disqualified people in a second, okay? But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. Guess what? Apostates, you don't have to expose them. They expose themselves. And you are seeing it particularly within these last days. More and more of their wigs are just being snatched off. Their masks are being snatched off. I mean, they are the emperor with no clothes. They're just butt naked and unashamed. They're just out there for the entire world to see. The major media doesn't cover it at all. Most of the Christian media doesn't cover it at all. Most of your preachers refuse to talk about it because they'd rather deceive you, lie to you, and take your money. Okay? Now, so we're going to stop the reading there. So, with all that being said, let's come back to, well, no, forget that. Let's go to my first article here from TheBlaze.com. Let me read this headline to you. Faith leaders to bless abortion clinic. Quote, assessing and providing abortions are godly decisions. I don't even have to read the article. Let's just let that marinate. Now, this happened a few weeks ago. This article was actually published on October the 24th, and this event has happened since then. But with that being said, these are, quote, faith leaders. All of them seem to come from, like, leftist, liberal type of denominations, like the Presbyterians and the Episcopalians, even though there are some strands of either denomination that has conservatism. By the way, just as an aside, there is no such thing as a progressive Christian, and there's no such thing as a conservative Christian. Jesus was neither conservative nor, what's the other word I just said? Progressive, there it is. My brain left me for a split second, but that's all right. I'm adept. I am able to come back real quick here. Let me read to you some of this nonsense here, okay? It says here, quote, anti-abortion advocates do not have a monopoly on faith or God. So people who think that life begins at conception, because the Bible tells us so, and that God considers every life of premier of significant importance, that's why the very hairs on their head are numbered, duh, and God has a plan for each and every last one of these children. Oh, but see, we don't own a monopoly on faith. Only the people who think that it's a godly decision to kill those babies. Sick. Says, many other faith leaders and people of faith that hold that assessing and providing abortions are good and godly decisions. Then here's the title of their little evil gathering. Holy ground. Blessed, the sacred space of decision. Are we serious? They're also gathering together on November the 9th, which has already happened, for some interfaith gathering. This is all happening in Columbus, Ohio, with the Ohio Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice. Let's just call it what it is. A bunch of apostates, a bunch of liars and heretics who are political people bought and paid for by the leftist Democrat Party and the George Soros machine who's buying off Christians left and right like Beth Moore and that other person Jesus died for, that other Moore guy that runs the, or has affiliation with the Southern Baptist, Russell Moore, that's the guy's name. See, I want to call these people names, I do, but that's the flesh. So what I have to do is, anytime you think I'm going to say that, I'm going to stop and say, that person Jesus died for, because that's the best I can do. So pray for me, people. But anyway, so I don't really need to read the rest of this, because it's pure garbage. But anyway, let's move on to the next sign of apostasy here, okay? Let's move on, okay? We're going to go to Pulpit and Pen. Here's an article caption for you. After coming out as an atheist, pastor still keeps job. Now, let me let that wash over you. After coming out as an atheist, pastor still keeps job. So, this preacher, first of all, we don't care who their name is. It doesn't matter. It says, a United Church minister who had faced an unprecedented ecclesiastical hearing over the professed atheism is no longer in danger of a defrocking, which means to be fired, after the two sides reached an agreement in a long-running case. Stop. There's so many problems there, I don't even know where to begin. See, this is what happens when you marry the church and the systems of the world. Who told you to go out there and make some body, some organization where there's trials about whether or not somebody's going to be a preacher or not? And then you get to decide that even though this person's an atheist, oh, they're qualified to preach because we made some legal deal. That's complete apostasy. I want to tell you something. The last two articles I quoted, Guess what? All those people in all these photos are all women. They're all women pastors. All women preachers. Every last one of them. There's some men in the articles with the previous one, but they're women. And all of them were a bunch of leftists coming up. They were part of the hippies' 60s revolution. All the liberalism that you can get. And then, because we create some stupid system that says, oh, we could come in here and we could ordain people to preach if they just follow this, get A's here, and score points there, oh, we will decide that they are biblical enough to, quote, be a pastor. That's what happens when you have crap systems like that, that God didn't ordain. You get ordained garbage. You get unordained, uninspired, ungodly filth like that. That's what happens. Why I reject most of the world's version of Christianity. I reject most Christianity's systems that they've created for themselves. I reject most of it. Why? Because this is the kind of garbage you get. Okay? And then, of course, here it is. The dance between these core values and how they interact with and inform each other is one that we continue to explore as the followers of Jesus Christ and of the Creator. As the Christian Church, we continue to expect that ministers of the United Church of Canada will offer their leadership in accordance with our shared and agreed upon statements of faith. Excuse me? What in the world is your statement of faith? Huh? Yeah, Jesus is alive, except for if you don't believe it, then it's okay too. That's your values? Are you out of your mind? Then they talk about, well, both parties took a long look at the cost benefit at running a heresy trial and whether it was good for anyone, and the results speak for themselves. They recognize that the place for Greta, which is the woman's name, and that there's no reason to separate the minister from the congregation, even though she's an atheist and don't believe a bit of the Bible. But then what about the people that are just going to stay there? What's that tell you about them? See, let me tell you, my issue with a lot of people is not really the false teachers. Yes, I have a problem with them, okay? I do have a problem with them. But I have even a greater problem with the people who sit there and tolerate it. Why? Because the truth is, most of them don't know him either. And that's why they're there. They have absolutely no idea, okay? Most of her congregants have been supportive of her views, but some have been critical. Oh, you don't say. Oh, my God. This stuff is just sick. But I'm going to get to why I'm talking about all this stuff in just a few minutes, okay? This last one about apostasy here. This comes from Charisma News. Now, Charisma, I don't necessarily recognize because these are a bunch of word of faithers. People believe in casting out devils, praying in tongues, yada, yada, yada. All that stuff. Bunch of charismatics, right? But from time to time, they do actually publish something worth listening to. They publish something that's worthwhile, okay? So, with that being said, the article. 61% of Christians believe in four New Age ideas. What are those New Age ideas? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Okay. One, it's by the Pew Research, by the way. This is the outfit that did it. Pew Research surveyed Americans to see what they thought about the following four New Age beliefs. One, spiritual energy exists in physical things. Two, psychics have reliable insight into the future. Three, reincarnation. Four, astrology. All four of those things, the Bible specifically preach against in Galatians, in Colossians, okay, and in Ezekiel, and in Daniel. But yet, 61% of Christians believe this. Why? Why? Because they don't know Scripture. They have no idea. They don't know a thing about Scripture, okay? Not a blessed thing about Scripture, okay? So, this brings me back to the STEM article, okay? Here's the STEM article. It brings me back. Check this out. The final apostasy of Christendom, as we shall see, will take a national form. Christendom with no reality in it whatsoever will find it easy to throw off all pretension of a Christian nature. For the true Christians, the Church of God, will have been caught up to glory at the second coming of our Lord, leaving only a hollow sham of a mere profession behind. The reason behind this is clearly stated. They feel the restraints of vital Christianity irksome. So the bands of restraint, the standards set by the Word of God, will be broken asunder. The cords of decent moral conduct will be cast away. The gratification of evil, unrestrained, fallen nature in its worst and vilest excesses will sweep the face of the so-called Christian lands like a prairie fire. Apostasy will take the form of absolute rejection of God in Christ, the Savior of mankind, for there is no remedy and there is no recovery. That's STEM Publishing, okay? Now, I say all that because I need to get you to this. We got another pastor, some dude named Dietrich Haddon, okay? Who's a renowned gospel singer in what I call black gospel. Because the truth is, we still got lots of segregation within Christianity. In Christianity, there is still lots of falsehood. In Christianity, there is still lots of separation on Sundays. And the gospel music is no different. There's a lot of separation within the gospel world as well, okay? And so, let me present this to you, okay? I want you to hear something. I want you to hear how bad this is. This is Dietrich Haddon. And he's doing a song, a Christmas song. And it's about making love and having sex on Christmas. Let's take a listen. Let's make love on Christmas. Stars are shining bright to set the mood for you and I. Let's make love on Christmas, baby. I mean, seriously. I mean, that's just sick. That's just perverse. I mean, what in the blue blazes is that, man? That is completely out of line. This man is up here talking about having sex, having milk and cookies, just full of lust, full of the devil. It's just sick. And this guy was somebody that, quite frankly, I had issues with before. I did not really like him at the very beginning because there was just something off about him. When I looked at him, there was just something about his appearance. And some of the things he would say was a little off-putting, okay? And I'm not going to continue to talk about this because a guy on YouTube pretty much said everything that I would say about this, but he said it, well, not better, but I like to give you a diverse view. Actually, it is pretty good. My man Marcus, it's all good. This is Marcus Rogers on YouTube, and he's commenting on Dietrich Haddon, but this also falls in line with apostasy.
So I just heard Dietrich Haddon's new song, Sexual, Full of Lust. I mean, he kind of let you know where his mind was at a couple months ago when he was saying, you know, it's okay to be shacked up, even though the Bible says give no place to the devil and don't let your good be evil spoken of, you know. So anyways, I'm not going to talk about that again. Listening to the song, he's talking about laying up between some legs and eating milk and cookies, just full of lust. Doesn't really clarify from what I heard, you know, about being married. He just looks desperate to be secular and be like the world. And the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, you know, the mouth speaks. So he was kind of letting you guys know where he was a couple of months ago, and it's kind of coming out more now. We see this so many times with Christian artists, whether they didn't have the talent or the personality or even looks, I guess, to make it in the secular world. And then they get a little fame with the gospel platform and they want to cross over. They start taking Jesus out of the message, watering down the gospel. And because they want to hold on to their base, they say, you know, well, I'm trying to be more versatile, you know, to win souls, but you don't ever really see them winning anybody. They'll make music with all these secular people, but none of them change. None of them get saved. All that happens is compromise and watering down. And the craziest part is this, that if somebody stands up and says it's wrong, Christians be the biggest one to defend it. Christians be the biggest one to say, oh, you know, don't judge. Who are you to judge? We're at a point now in Christianity where you can't stand for anything, can't stand for righteousness, can't stand for holiness. If you take a stand, if you say what the Bible says, if you speak out against something, it's judging. And who do you think you are? And we're already living in a world where they want anything to go. Just let people do what they want to do and be free. And there's no standard and there's no boundary and there's no line that can't be crossed. Just let people live their life. And people are trying to do the same exact thing with Christianity. Unfortunately, there's no boundaries. You know, in the song, he's talking about laying up between legs and eating milk and cookies and all kinds of nonsense, just full of lust. Really secular, man. He looks desperate to be secular. And of course, I'm going to say pray for him, you know, because that's the right thing to say. We all could use prayer, you know, and none of us are perfect, as I always say. But there comes a point in time where you should just know better. When you're in a certain position, a certain platform, you should just know better, you know, because you are a representation of Christianity. And I think the saddest part is when I look at the comments is all the people defending it. Nah, you know, Christians, we need this. We need this kind of music, and it's nothing wrong with it. And most of the time, if you look at those people's lives, you know, they're really watered down. They're people who go to church on Sunday, and that's pretty much where the Christianity starts and ends. You know, listen to two songs, listen to a quick sermon Monday through Saturday. They're just living however they want, because what everybody in the world right now claims to be a Christian. You know, everybody, if you ask anybody, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but there's no standard. There's no biblical principle. So they get offended when you actually stand for the word of God, what the word of God says. They get offended when you point something out as wrong. You say, you know, that just doesn't feel right in my spirit, or, you know, discernment and things like that. And you got to realize that though, even everybody's called a Christian, they're not truly Christians according to the Bible. It's just like a politically correct term, especially here in America. Yeah, I believe in God, and yeah, I pray, and you know, they don't really pray, they don't really believe in prayer, you know, and things like that. But I'm not going to get into it. Like I always say, you need to watch, you need to pray, you need to pay attention to what is going on in this world. There's a lot of you know, big time, you know, Christians in high positions, and we make them idols, and we start, because we're so starstruck, we're defending all of everything that they do, all of their bad behavior, all their compromise, all their lukewarmness. We just keep defending it because we're so starstruck to the point where it's idol worship, and we get mad when anybody says, you know, that they're wrong or they're in error, man. And that's the sad state of Christianity.
I couldn't have said it better myself. My man Marcus, I couldn't have said it better myself. I know that clip was a little long. It was like 3 minutes long. But I'm telling you, you needed to hear that. That stuff was wonderful. And it's everything that I always talk about here. Everything that I always talk about. Speaking of talking, I'm out of breath. I'm a little tired. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. You're going to hear a little bit of my music, and then I'm going to come back. I told you we need to talk about persecution, and we needed to talk about a few other things. I'll be right back. You are listening to The Truth Stand at truthstand.org. I am the Luminary. I'll be right back. That's called Breakthrough Beats. Now, sad to say, I'm not going to be making any music for a while. Why? Because my girlfriend broke my heart. What was her name? Beat Thang. B-E-A-T-T-H-A-N-G. Yes, it's as corny as it sounds. It was called The Beat Thang. That's how I made a lot of my music. But unfortunately, she crashed on me a few weeks ago. She lost a lot of my music. And it really broke my heart. I tried to come back. But she's been screwing up ever since, so I'm getting rid of it. I can't go back to it, but I got 45 heart-pounding tracks, and I made great music, and now it's time to move on. So with that being said, the first 25 minutes were as hard-hitting as I have ever had on any of my podcasts, whether I was on this network or that network or whatever, hard-hitting about apostasy. And we went through several things about apostasy. Now, there was one more thing that I left out, but you know what? I'm going to keep that left out. I'm just going to tell you what it was about. I'm not going to let you hear the sound clips because it's just disgusting. I kept the sound clips, but we're running a little long, so I don't want to really play it because I don't really want to give this guy any kind of publicity. But basically, you know, there are a lot of people in Christianity that are gay, that call themselves Christians, and they're homosexuals, okay? Of course, we love them with the love of Christ. Of course we do. But their sin is still sin, period, okay? It's still unrighteous, it's still unholy, and quite frankly, I am of the belief that they're not saved. Are there people who struggle with sin, sexual sin, and is that sexual perversion, one of homosexuality? Yes. But instead of those people being backsliders, as we read earlier, people who have their secret life and they're grievously affected by it, and they don't like it, no, these people, not only do they not care that they're living these lives, they justify it. And they find scripture to try to preach that it's perfectly fine with what they're doing. And not only is the Lord fine with it, but Jesus is also down with it. Like this guy talks about. And you know what? I'm playing the clip. So let's play the clip right here.
Jesus is polyamorous. Yeah, you heard me right. Jesus is polyamorous. We know this already, though, even if we don't think about it or put it in those terms. If you're one of those Christians who believes in the importance of a personal relationship with Jesus, well, Jesus is having personal relationships with billions of other people, too. Jesus' polyamory goes beyond this personal relationship idea, though. It's deeper, biblical even. In Ephesians 5, Paul specifically uses the word marriage to describe Christ's relationship with us. Repeatedly, Paul reminds us that Jesus gave himself for us. Us, the church, which Paul describes as the whole body of believers. In this marriage, Jesus isn't married to one person. He's married to the entire body of believers. Jesus is in a pansexual, polyamorous relationship with us. And so, of course, Christians can be polyamorous. That's a biblical model of relationship. We already recognize that God's love for us isn't diminished by God's love for others, and that each of us can have a unique, transcendent relationship with the divine. Our relationship with God can be a model for our romantic and sexual relationships as well. You know how you feel when something good happens to someone you care about? When your friend, child, neighbor, or coworker connects with the divine? That's how I feel when my partners date or meet someone new or are just head over heels for someone else. How beautiful, how majestic that they get to have more love in their life. And how exciting that someone else gets to experience the amazingness of my partner.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? When we talk about apostasy, that doesn't get more apostate than that. That is sick beyond belief. Now, the video is like 3 minutes long, but I chopped it up, okay? Because first of all, I didn't want you to know who his name was. I didn't want you to hear him shilling to encourage others to go to his website so he could teach these people how to be whores and sluts. Basically, let me sum up what he said. That because Jesus is a whore and a slut, I can be a whore and a slut because that's how we express our love. And the more love we have with each other, the more we will love Jesus because that's how Jesus loves us. That is sick. But do you know how many homosexuals believe that? Do you know how many churches that are built that caters to homosexuality? Okay? That is sick, sick, sick. Here's the second part of that clip.
The word polyamory comes from poly and amorous, many loves. We all already have many loves. The question then becomes, how do you express that love? With whom? How do you do life? We want to help you sort through those questions. Is polyamory for me? How do I share with my church community that I'm in a polyamorous relationship? How do I talk with my partner about wanting an open relationship? How do I integrate polyamory with my faith? We see in Ephesians an understanding that marriage can be polyamorous, that Jesus is polyamorous with us, and so we know that it's possible. Of course, we also see other types of relationships in Scripture, some healthier than others, and no one has to be polyamorous. But it's one way of structuring relationships, and it can be a deeply faithful one. And so it is.
So there he is, encouraging people. Yeah, I want to teach you because it is the biblical thing to do, bro. That is, you know what? I don't even have any more words to say. Let's just move on. You know, in other news, before we get to the persecution, in other news, so I ran across this little ditty from thechristianpost.com, and this is by my favorite heretic, Dave Ramsey. Why do I call Dave Ramsey a heretic? Why do I think Dave Ramsey is a false teacher? Because Dave Ramsey uses scripture out of place to try to preach financial freedom because the Bible teaches you how to be economically free. In the name of growing wealth and being successful. Yes, I know that he talks about some things that are actually practical as far as just saving money and being frugal. And there are scripture about being frugal with your money and storing up for the latter rain and all that kind of jazz. That's absolutely true. Okay, but Dave Ramsey says, no. Not only that, but the Lord, the Bible teaches you how to be an investor, and it teaches you how to grow wealth and all this stuff. And if you believe, well, particularly if you listen to my advice, and because I'm the new financial pastor of all the pastors, well, then you're going to be rich because the Bible wants you to be rich. He's not that different than Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker and all these other prosperity heretics. And I'm sorry, I threw Swaggart in there. Swaggart is not a prosperity guy, but Jim Baker was, and Creflo Dollar and Jakes and all these other people are. Joel Osteen, he's in the class with these same guys. That's why I call him a heretic. But here is something very funny. Dave Ramsey urges pastors to refrain from preaching sermons about tithing to broke people. He says, quote, unless you've done two sermons on debt, one getting out of debt and one getting on the budget. He says, stop stressing the importance of tithing to congregants who aren't good stewards of money. So let me get this straight. One heretic is telling other potential heretics and false teachers to stop preaching a false heretical system known as Christian tithing, so they can listen to him talk about debt. And he'd much rather preachers preach about getting out of debt. I wonder, where was Jesus' sermon about getting out of debt? Ridiculous. Get out of here. Here's another funny story. McDonald's worker charged in bacon attack, okay? Now, I'm doing this because, listen. We talk serious stuff here, but we need a break sometimes, okay? We need to laugh at something. We need something a little ironic. So here it is. A McDonald's cook tried to shove hot, crispy bacon in the face of her manager during a confrontation Friday that resulted in assault and battery charges being filed against the worker. Why, do you ask? How did this happen? I'm glad you asked. Cops say that the fast food employees faced off at McDonald's in Bluffton, South Carolina, when the manager, Tequila Cohen, asked cook Josefina Jimenez to stop eating bacon while she was working in the kitchen. When Jimenez continued consuming the pork delicacy, Cohen lodged a complaint with her boss, the eatery's manager, and that's when all the beef started. So hold on, let me reread this. The manager asked the cook, Josefina Jimenez, to stop eating the bacon.
You're kidding. You don't know how.
Okay, we're just going to leave that there. We're just going to let that marinate there. All right, so persecution. As you know, I am a big time believer that the Christian church in America is under persecution. Now, it's a soft persecution at this time. You know, with the ACLUs and the religious freedom people and all these people suing churches to remove crosses, suing to eliminate their tax-exempt statuses. We got the people going after bakers and flower shops, want to cater weddings and then gay weddings, and then when they say no because of their faith, they sue them. I mean, poor Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop in Colorado, he's still getting sued by the state over it, even after the Supreme Court gave him a first victory. Another group came in and did it again to him. Okay, now we got this situation here. It says here, lesbians, this is coming from ChristianNewsNet.com. No, I'm sorry, ChristianNews.net. ChristianNews.net. It says, lesbians who filed complaint against Baker for not making a wedding cake wore hidden microphones. In other words, it was a setup. And this happened in Bakersfield, California. All right, it says here, although the lawsuits claim that Ellen and Mariah, these are obviously the two lesbians suing, did not know what to do after the incident, the record shows that the couple immediately took to social media. Within 30 minutes, Miller began receiving death threats. So, okay. So, although they were allegedly so offended at what happened, they were so emotional. They were so tore up. Oh, they took right to social media. Exactly. Miller, this would be the person that owns the actual shop here, okay, Christian Baker, who owns the actual shop, okay, she automatically started receiving death threats and emails containing images of people engaging in depraved sexual acts. The news crews arrived shortly after the organization outlines. The lawsuit also asserts that the women suffered physically and emotionally, yada, 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 okay. They always claim that. Then Miller's attorney said that they learned during the investigation stage that the women had come prepared with hidden microphones. Despite the couple's claim that they were offended and hurt, facts discovered during the investigation that shows that the couple had intentionally been searching for a business that would discriminate against them, wearing a hidden microphone to catch businesses in the act. Once again, that is Kathy Miller. This is a lawsuit against Kathy Miller of the Tasteries Bakery in Bakersfield, California. I'm telling you, people, that is an attack. They are going around searching for people. Remember that poor little girl in that shop in Indiana that led to Mike Pence, then governor of Indiana, creating the Religious Freedom Act, which, by the way, he then vetoed. I will never forgive Mike Pence for that. But anyway, they went high and low, searched for somebody to cater a wedding. And then when she says, now we don't do that for our belief, then they were besieged and almost driven out of business. Matter of fact, I think they may have been driven out of business. That's how that stuff works. Berkeley Christian student, senator, pressured to resign for abstaining from vote for religious beliefs. It says, she quotes, "I pray that the Lord would use my story to shed light on how the church can better love the LGBT community while not compromising his truth spoken in love." Okay, so once again, we have this one. She was not pursued, but immediately as soon as she said that she would not vote on a resolution to condemn Donald Trump, because what Donald Trump had been considering was considering narrowing the definition of gender, basically declaring that one man, one woman, whatever, right? But they wanted to, this University of California at Berkeley, they wanted to do a resolution condemning that. And the female who was the senator of the student union or whatever abstained because she, for religious beliefs, didn't believe in that. And of course, she was besieged with hate. She was besieged and just labeled a hater. I'm not even going to read these silly comments by some of these people because it's over the top. It's the same stuff. Anybody who's Christian / conservative / Republican, if they don't agree with the leftist, liberal, progressive agenda, then they're automatically haters. They're automatically racist. They're automatically bigots because that's how it works. Okay? And then it's automatically believed to be so. Now, why am I bringing up these articles? Because, see, we are under attack here, okay? We are under attack here, okay, as Christians. But the Christians that are getting the worst attack, and it's in a lot of these places, like in China, in Sudan, in the Myanmar Republic, in Burma, in Sudan, in Iran, Pakistan, and I'm going to talk about Pakistan in just a moment, okay? There are Christians who have been killed in Nigeria. There are Christians who are being persecuted, ran out of homes, churches being destroyed. Laws are purposely geared to run them out of their homes, to run them out of their churches. There's a lot of governments that claim that they protect Christians, but then they allow wild militias to just go crazy, hunting down Christians and killing them, persecuting them, kidnapping their daughters, trying to convert them to Islam. All kinds of crazy stuff happening that the media refuses to report. Which brings me to the Charisma News magazine, okay? Says, quote, "Mainstream media refuses to cover violent threats against Christians." And I'm just going to pull this article out, okay? It says here, "Nowadays, the American media is constantly reporting the plight of the world's Muslims, whether it is on their persecution by U.S. policies as the Trump travel ban and the dismantling," which, by the way, was all fraud, "and the dismantling of the Iran nuclear deal or the aggressive stance of the Israeli regime. Yet major networks often gloss over the plight of Christians and other Western sympathizers in the Middle East. For example, they often decline to mention Christian genocide, but devote large chunks of time to lamenting the deaths of Palestinians, quote-unquote, protesters, in quotation marks here, who, despite warnings, attacked the Israeli border. They also rarely mention cruel Islamic customs, like militant homophobia or genital mutilation, but follow the Catholic Church's every move when it comes to sex scandals. They also recently ignored the killings of Christians by Muslim herdsmen in northern Africa. And yet, rarely have they forgotten to attribute that kind of barbarianism to the American white supremacists. Whether it is outright bias or just an incident, just an accident, the networks really shouldn't be ignoring stories. The liberal media is always going about how sad it is for victims to be silenced. So what gives as far as this one? You know, you hear all the time, oh, the immigrants, oh, you know, the biggest issue is immigration. Whether it's Republican or Democrat, it is all about immigration, 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 immigration. And what do I hear all the time? Oh, the poor illegal aliens. Oh, these poor people of love. Yada, yada, yada. We must give them asylum. Look at what they're going through. Look at the kind of torture they're going through. Okay, and yet, we got Christians going through real torture, been seeking asylum, and can't get it. There are Iranian Christians, 132 of them to be exact, still seeking asylum in America, and they can't get it. But yet, we're bending over backwards for illegal aliens in this country? But we're allowing Muslims to come in from Syria. You know why? Politics. See, it benefits both parties to bring in the Mexicans or the illegal aliens from those countries. And to bring in the Muslims, right? But the Christians, hey, who cares? All right. That brings me to this last article from the National Review about persecution, okay? See, because here's the thing. A lot of that stuff that's happening over there, it's coming over here, people. It's coming over here. Now, this story, I'm going to give you the article of it. It's from the National Review. It's called Desperate Pakistani Christians Languish in Thailand. Okay, so basically, it's an advocacy piece that says we should be providing asylum. Okay, now here's the thing about that. Let me give you a summation of it, then I want to pull a quote out of here. Basically, since Bangkok is a large metropolis, it's the closest thing that the Pakistani Christians can get to. They go there, right? But they're oftentimes treated like second-class citizens over there. They're going there because they have no other place to go, because they're trying to flee persecution. And unlike many of the people coming from these other countries, they are truly the persecuted, okay? It's a phenomenally long article. I would recommend you reading it when you have time. It's a phenomenally long article. But basically, I just want to get over here. It says, these reports, I mean, let's go scroll back up here. Give me a second here. Yeah, see, there are a lot of Christians who are just persecuted here. It says here that a lot of these people are treated like second-class citizens. They can't get money for food. They can't get help for clothes and shelter. And there are Christians in Pakistan, but nobody cares. They go to Thailand and nobody cares, okay? And just to give you a little bit of an idea of the type of persecution that these people face, okay? Here's some of the articles within the past year. Just the past year. It says, police discrimination forces Pakistani Christians to petition the government to worship in church. Girl thrown from window after rejection of Muslim traffickers' marriage proposal. Oh, that's very common. Muslims will propose to a Christian girl who will say no, and then they will attack that Christian girl, rape or kill her. That's very common. Christian hospital manager dies after motorcycle acid attack. Yeah, that was a gruesome article. As a matter of fact, if you want to read more of these articles, one website that's really good is called the worldwatchmonitor.org or .com. worldwatchmonitor.com or .org. But I warn you, you got to have a strong stomach. I warn you. Christian man shot by neighbor on his wedding anniversary was on his way to go buy a cake. Yeah, I remember reading that. Police charge Muslim murderer of Christian father who attempted to retrieve daughter from forced marriage. Still no convictions for any Muslims involved in the burning alive of a Christian couple in Pakistan for 2 years? Christians brace for further marginalization with zero representation in the National Assembly as blasphemy law proponents seize power. See, that's what's happening to Christians all over the country. And I can tell you this. Matter of fact, I have a whole lot of articles about this. Let me just read to you some of the articles that I have about this, okay? Let me just read to you some of the names. It says, four children, grandmother, 17 Christians slain and attacked by Muslim herdsmen in Nigeria. It says, persecution is that two Christian bus passengers were killed. In that article, in that time on persecution.com. There were two people. They just were riding on the bus. They pulled a bus over. The militia saw the two Christians. They knew these people, yanked them off the bus, told them to accept Allah or die, and they wouldn't, and they died. Now, you would think in this country that's happening to black people the way the media portrays it, that black people, cops are just pulling black people over indiscriminately for no reason, pulling them out and then beating the hell out of them. That's exactly what you would think. And forgive me for that word hell, okay? But with that being said, dozens of Christians killed in Muslim attack in the market, okay? 271 Christians, Indian Christians, facing unfounded criminal charges, including converting Hindus and spreading lies about Hinduism. And such and so forth. It just keeps going on and on and on. I could read this to you all day. But the bottom line is, people, why did I do this podcast today? What's my end statement here? Why did I do this podcast today? Bottom line is, I did it because when it comes to the apostasy, we need to be aware of what's going on in the Christian faith, because shrapnels of that stuff, I can see it in a lot of our lives, and even a lot of people that I know. Fragments of those false teachings are finding themselves in our churches, or finding themselves in our pulpits, okay? That's why I do it. I also do it so you can recognize it, so you can avoid it. Like I said in 2 Timothy, from such turn away. Okay? But also so you can help other believers who you see it's happening to them, so you can help them. Okay? As far as the persecution is concerned, the Bible is clear. We will be tried by fire. Those who desire to live godly shall be persecuted. And you need to know what's happening to our saints and our brothers and sisters who are living far worse lives than we are over here. Okay? Who are dealing with things that we can't even fathom, okay? And that is coming over here. China is aggressively, is the most aggressive country in persecuting the church. The most aggressive, okay? It's not even close. Not even close, okay? Not even close, all right? And so with that being said, that's why I do it. But I tell you what, it's the time to end my show, but I want to end the show with a little bit of a scripture reading, okay? And the scripture is from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 20 through 26. It's actually 22 through 26, King James Version. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait on him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. You've been listening to The Truth Stand. I am your host, Illuminary. You can hear me on the truthstand.org page every Sunday. Peace and God bless.